We have the same problem at our chapel. As soon as the individual comes up to speak, everyone leaves. And it's okay, it's children, so that's a good problem to have because it means they're going to Sunday school and they're going to learn lots, and it's a great place to be involved in and for the kids to have. Last time I was at an assembly where we sang happy birthday to someone, I was in San Antonio, Texas, speaking in June, and they served guacamole in between their meetings, by the way. And it's the first assembly I've been to that they had nachos and guacamole in between their services, too. But what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to think of birthdays and to celebrate things. But there's something even greater that I look forward to than 2 years from now on a 100th anniversary is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great if it was today? Wouldn't that just be marvelous? I think that's even greater than a birthday. What a good birthday present that would be, wouldn't it? And we can look forward to that if we're believers in him. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you've given to us and for the many blessings that we have of today. Lord, we would ask and pray that you would be with the children and be with those that teach. And Lord, that they would glean from the word of God and that they would learn more about you. And Lord, we thank you so much for those who respond to the call to work with children. And we pray that you would bless them for their service to your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who are around the globe that break bread in hiding and in persecution, and that can't do it as openly as we did it this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would bless them and protect them. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have now to look into your word. And Lord, we pray that you would guard my tongue, that the words spoken would be of clarity and would be from you. And Lord, that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise, for you indeed are worthy of that. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was excited to hear about your vacation Bible school that's happening this week. And starting off at and learning about creation is such a great thing. So this morning, we're going to talk about the beginning. Not necessarily creation as we think of it, but we're going to talk about the beginning. And we're going to be spending time in John chapter 1. As Harold has mentioned, I am the men's teaching leader in Edmonton, Alberta, and for Bible Study Fellowship. And we are going through the book of John this coming year. We just finished going through Revelation for a 30-week Bible study. And each week I get to speak a 40-minute lecture from God's word. And it's been such a blessing to be able to speak to the men in Edmonton. We have over 200 men registered in Edmonton. We have a Mandarin group. We are opening our first Cantonese group. We have lots of people that are searching because they want to know more about God. This spring, the teaching leader in Calgary wasn't able to continue. So if you would be praying for me and with me this fall, I'm going to be traveling down to Calgary for the month of September and the month of October for part of it to speak every single week to over 200 men that are registered there as well. So Monday night, I'll be speaking in Calgary. So if you remember on Monday nights, please be praying. And then on Tuesday nights, I'll be coming back to preach in Edmonton. So the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few, but he is the Lord of the harvest. So God will provide. If we think about creation and we think about how the world has started. We had a wonderful picture up of the stars and of the sky. And we can spend some time outside and we can look and we can see the stars. And isn't it a wonderful thing? In fact, the word of God in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 16, it talks about how the Lord gave sun to give light to the day and a moon light to the night. But he made the stars also, it says. And just in that small little phrase, he made the stars also. You're like, that is a really small phrase to describe something so vast and so huge and so amazing. If you look in the sky, I think it's up until this week, If you wake up early enough, you can see three bright stars on the horizon in the southwest. One will be Jupiter, which is a planet. The other one will be Mars. And the other one is actually a star that is way, 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 way out there. But they're lined up vertically. It looks kind of actually really neat. But the star that's so far away, it actually takes 600 years for the light of it to come to Earth. It's that far away from us. And they think by their calculations that how big this sun must be is if you took our sun and you took the dimension of how wide it would stick out, it would pass Mercury, it would pass Venus, it would pass Earth, and it would almost come to Mars. That's how big this star must be to shine from that far away. And you think he made the stars also. What a simple phrase to describe something so huge and so magnificent. And to think about how long that takes, even it would take us to our own sun. But God has everything worked out just so perfectly, doesn't it? Before we go into the book of John, we think of a couple other verses in Genesis. And it starts off in the book. It says, "In the beginning, God." And this morning, the focus that I want to give to the message is, if you don't understand who God is, you will not understand his creation. We can explain that the sun and the moon and the green and the plants and everything was created on certain days, and we can explain the structure and we can read Genesis. But if you can't even start at the very first phrase, if you don't understand and believe who God is, the rest doesn't make sense. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. How can we understand God? If his universe is so vast, and his universe is so big, and it's so huge, who is this God? Who is this God, and what does he want to do with us, his creation? What's his plan for that? It's nice to have greenery. It's nice to have animals. It's nice to know that we are created by him. But who is he? I can't even figure out myself out sometimes, let alone trying to understand and explain who God is sometimes. Let's see what God's word has to say about that. We'll start off in John chapter 1, verse 1. And this is what it says. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And we had a great message this morning talking about how to study God's Word and the who, what, when, where. And the gentleman that spoke, I spoke with him afterwards, I said, "I really appreciated that you mentioned that when we're studying God's Word, we should always start with prayer. And praying, God, what do you have to show me through the reading of your word? And what do you have to show me as I read and understand? Help me to understand, because this is a really big thing, and I'm just little me." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, talking about he. Who is this he? Well, we're going to keep on reading, and we're going to discover that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it." Now, let's just stop there. This is our first portion, and that we're going to look at in the first five verses here. We see the Word was with God. Christ was with God at the beginning. He was God, and he claimed to be God. And he was through him, all things were made. He was involved in creation, and nothing that was made that had been made. In him was life. We're going to hear this over and over and over again in the book of John, talking about how he is life. In fact, he's going to identify himself as the bread of life. He's the sustenance that's required for us to live. "For man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In fact, the life that you now breathe, even in yourself right now as a human, is given to you from God. In Genesis chapter 2, at the beginning of the Bible, It talks about how God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what it says. And that is the only reason why you are breathing. Otherwise, you are but dust. In fact, Psalm 103 says, "Say, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust." So he knows that we are but dust. And so by you sitting in this room and breathing with me is proof that God has had involvement in your life. You breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you have become a living soul. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is another thing that the book of John talks about, how he is light. And in fact, we are told to be light unto the world, aren't we? He is the light unto mankind, but we are to be light to our neighborhood. We are to be that lighthouse on the shore. We are to be so many things involved with light. And he is the light of men. But here's the sad news. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Darkness doesn't get light. There's an amazing thing about light. If I take a match and I light it and I hold it up against the wall, you cannot see a shadow of the light against the wall. If I take a little bit of darkness, I can't put it in this room and we have a little ball of darkness here. We can't do that, can we? But if I have the whole room dark and I shine that little match, it will light up the whole room, won't it? John chapter 3, a few chapters later, talks about this. It says, this is the condemnation, that men love darkness. Men love darkness. He who practices not truth, but his deeds are evil, doesn't come into the light, lest his deeds be seen. Right? And he won't come into the light. But he who practices truth comes into the light, that his deeds may be seen, and be seen that they've been done through God. There's a big difference between light and darkness. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. During the VBS this week, they're going to talk about light and darkness. Now, God created lights, and from the words of his mouth, let there be light, there became light. If you want to go a little bit deeper into that thought, think of this. The things that come for proceed from the mouth of God. Okay? With the breath of his coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and his judgment upon those who are the inhabitants of the earth that choose not to belong to him and not to believe in Christ, their destruction will proceed because of the breath of his coming. They'll be destroyed. Something else comes from the word of God. Your life, the fact that you breathe, comes from the breath of God. There is in him, there is life, there is light, and he is God. But if we start off when we say, okay, well, God is involved in creation. That's the first point we want to make. God is involved in creation, but he's not only involved in creation, he is the one who is behind it all. If you have an argument with someone who doesn't believe in creation and doesn't believe in God, they'll often use the argument and they'll say, well, these rocks banged together and banged into other rocks, and then there was a big bang or noise or things, and then other things caused. You say, well, where did that come from? And they can't go back enough because they have to acknowledge that there's a God. But a really, really bright argumenter will say to the Christian, say, okay, well, you say God created the heavens and the earth. What about that? Before that, where was God? Where did God come from? Where did this come from? So they start questioning and they try the same argument, but it doesn't work. Because with us as Christians, if we believe in the God of creation, he is the absolute. Who am I? Job chapter 38, where were you? God asks him, where were you when I did this? Where were you did that? And it says that he knows the path of the lightning bolt. Have you ever tried to capture a lightning bolt on film, let alone watch it enough to see the path in which it goes? But he knows the path of the thunderbolt. He knows the path of everything. He knows the details of your life. He knows the details of your heart. He knows everything that you do in word and deed and thought. God is involved in creation, He is from the beginning. That's our first truth that we can take from this passage. The next, in verse 6, it says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Light was coming into the world through Christ in flesh. And John was the forerunner of this, to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was not the one who was the light, but to bear testimony to it. If I get in a car accident, because of course it was someone else's fault, not mine, and I got into a car accident, I would like a witness, wouldn't I? So that way someone can bear testimony to what is true. Because if I say, well, you were driving too fast, and the other person says, well, you were driving too slow, then it's my word against theirs, isn't it? But if I have witnesses, and they say, well, actually, eight other people can say, no, you were driving too fast, then the whole story changes, doesn't it? Going before a court or a judge, the judge says, well, no, we have witnesses to prove it. This is going to be proved that one person is telling the truth, the other person is lying. We go forward in the book of John, in John chapter 3, we'll see Jesus say, we speak what we know, we testify what we have seen, but still you do not receive our witness. And John will say in the latter portion of John chapter 3, and he'll say that we testify and witness that he is faithful. He has certified that God is faithful. So John is declaring himself a witness to this light in the same way he is here in chapter 1. That this light is true, that it gives light to every man, that man is without excuse. He was in the world, and through him, verse 10 says, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We sang a couple very good songs this morning. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he? But unless you're his child, unless you've placed faith in him, you're not part of his family. The world would love to say, well, no, we're all human. We're all together. We're all one. We're all under the same thing. It doesn't matter. You know what? If you believe this and I believe that, and you believe this and you believe you're a 4-year-old puppy, it's all okay, because we're all the same. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that there are those who have placed faith in Christ. And because they placed faith in Christ, they're adopted as his children. And when they become adopted as his children, they are part of his family, and they are his forever. No matter what they do, they are his. No one can take them from out of his Father's hand, for sin is not stronger than God. But then there are those that are in the inhabitants of the earth, and they fall in many different categories, and they choose not to believe in Christ and have faith in Christ. And because of that, they fall under judgment. And often the world will say, well, that's not fair. It's not fair. Well, you know what? It's their choice. That's what they chose. They chose. They're just reaping what they sowed. They're getting what they asked for. They're receiving what they wanted, and they didn't want Christ. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. No, it wasn't because of their birthright or their religious or belief or practice, or because of their culture, or because of the color of their skin or anything like that. It's not born of natural descent, not of human decision. It's not because my parents decided to have 2 kids instead of 3, or 3 instead of 2. And it's not because of a choice that my parents made that I become part of God's family, because my dad's an elder in the church. It doesn't mean that I'm a Christian. Not of human decision or of a husband's will, not by force. No one twisted my arm, said, if you don't become a Christian, I'm going to twist your arm hard, and you'll say, ouch. but born of God. It's not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will. In fact, the other three gospels build up to this. Matthew is written to the religious man, to the Jew. And it's not by religion. It's not by religion. It's not by what you're practicing. It's not by obeying the law. Mark is talking about the strong man, the Gentile. It's not because you are a Gentile that you're not a Jew that all of a sudden you're accepted by God. And Luke is to the thinking man. It's not because of your intellect. And thankfully, John is written to the wretched man, and I fall into that category. I'm not smart. I'm not strong enough. It's not because of my religious practice. It's because I am wretched and I am hopeless within myself. But God was willing to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I should believe in him and become his child. So God was involved in his creation and he was there from the beginning with Christ. This next portion shows us that God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants you as his children. If you talk to anyone who's been part of the foster system or ever been adopted, what's their greatest want? They want someone to call mom or father. They want to be part of a family. God can make you whole where you've been broken. God can mend wounds where you've been rejected. If your earthly father or mother was never enough, God is willing to be your heavenly father and treat you as a child should be treated. The word became flesh, verse 14, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me surpasses me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received a blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." If you say, "Well, I don't understand who God is," and we look at creation and we say we can't understand creation until we understand God, if you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have witnessed of him and you bear witness of him because of your belief and your faith in him, you know the Father. In fact, John tells us this. And Philip says to him, and he says, "If you show us the Father, then we will believe you." He says, "You've seen me. You've seen the Father." And here in this verse, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." If you want to know God, know Jesus. If you want to know God, know Jesus and know more about him. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lord Jesus Christ, involved in creation, wanting a relationship with us, to have with us, to adopt us as his children, his sons, and his daughters, allows us to know our Heavenly Father, the one who is creator of all. Learning about creation, you know, one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. In fact, Revelation chapter 1 says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I saw a loud voice from the throne saying, Now in the indwelling of God, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear That's a good father. Taking his children and placing them on his lap and wiping away every tear. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the older things have passed away. He was seated on the throne. I am making all things new, he said. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Listen here. The beginning and the end. He is the beginning. He's involved in creation before the world began. He has a desire to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know his son so that he can know you. He wants to hold you as a child and make all things new because he is the beginning, isn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of glory, the spotless Lamb of God, who died to take the sin from you and from me, wants to have a relationship with you so he can show you the Father. Tell you a story of a friend of mine in closing. My friend Mal, growing up, was one of my Sunday school teachers. And Mal started attending Bible study fellowship in his older years and had a desire to learn from God's word. And Mal would often read through the scripture several times in a year and be so excited about the word of God and encourage young people to read it as well. When Mal had developed Parkinson's disease, he was struggling with his health and his mobility to even sit still and be comfortable for a short period of time. Then after several infections and several other things happening with his body started to shut down and he would no longer be attending Bible study fellowship. For years, his son-in-law had driven him. And because he drove his father-in-law to BSF, he started attending himself and becoming involved in it. And Mal became septic. He was toxic inside. And I have a problem when it comes to hospitals, my mother says. When I go, people die. And so I rarely ever try to visit. But when the Lord calls, we have to go. And I had gone to the hospital to visit Mal, and I can still see it in my mind. And I had come up the elevator and walked out the doors, and there I stood. And I said, boy, this is the last chance I'm going to be able to talk to him, isn't it? And there from the room next to the elevator, a woman started crying out, who I had never met or even heard or saw or anything. And she just started saying, Mal, Mal, Mal. And I walked down the hallway towards Mal's room, and she stopped talking. And I could hear the echo of her voice back from a distance. And I went into Mal's room, and there was his wife, and there was his daughter and a friend. And I said, I've come to say goodbye to Mal. And then Mal opened his eyes and looked over. And I said, hi, Mal. And his wife, in utter shock, he hadn't been awake for a week, and he started mumbling, and I said, hi, I said, just come say goodbye to you. I said, thank you for being my friend. And Mal said, thank you for being my student. And I said, Mal, I want to tell you something. God is going to be very happy soon. Not that he's not happy already. Because the Lamb is about to receive the reward of his suffering when you pass away. And I said, can I tell you a story? And so I told Mal the story of two Moravian missionaries who had decided that they could no longer take the fact that a man who was a British slave owner had 3,000 slaves and they were on an island in the West Indies. And there was no one there to hear the gospel. And so these two young men said, we are going to sell ourselves into slavery so that these people would be able to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because we care about them so much. And so they decided to sell themselves into slavery, but the man wanted nothing to do with God. So he said, with the money that I've paid you to be my slaves, you have to pay to arrange your own boat ride out to my island. Their families begged them and pleaded with them not to go. And they, on the shore, with the weeping and much tears, the boys loaded up on a boat. And as they headed out into the water, one of them stood up and linked the arm of the other and held his hand in the air and said, "May the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering." And off in the distance they went. To this day, this is still the missionary calling of those Moravians that go out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Mal, you will, when you pass away, the Lamb is going to receive the reward of his suffering." Mal had the day to talk with his family, and 2 days later he passed away. And I use that picture with permission of his wife and of that talk with him to encourage you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, know him. Because then you will know God. And then creation and all the other things in life will make sense. If you know him, if you say, "I'm smart," if you say, "That's fine, I'll wait," don't wait. One day I hope I can say the same. When we're in eternity together and we can see each other face to face and say, "Oh, isn't it great to be here? Because the Lamb received the reward of his suffering. And he paid for you and he paid for me." Isn't that absolutely wonderful? If you're walking out of this building today and you don't know God, I encourage you to ask someone and to know him today. Maybe you've walked away from your relationship with him. Maybe you came to know him a long time ago and you made a decision that you wanted to start serving yourself instead. Talk to someone. Make things right with him. The Bible asks us to be reconciled to God. Do that today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to look in your word. And Lord, even though we've looked at just a few verses, these 18 verses, Lord, it speaks so much truth. And Lord, may this truth resound in our lives as we go out into a world that is constantly trying to tear us apart. May we rely on you as the source of our strength. And Lord, we pray that if there is anyone that is with us today that doesn't know you, that they would seek you and find you. And Lord, that you would open their eyes to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious, in his wonderful, in his most glorious name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The meeting's now over.